It's a story that we have been following very closely ever since the weekend. And the good news in this, the twins who nearly drowned, allegedly by their father in West Haven over the weekend, they are improving at the hospital this morning, and their mother has been reunited with them at Yale. And what we've been focusing on here on WICC ever since we learned about the news over the weekend is really the patrol officer who recognized not normal and acted upon it. And I mean, gold standard acting upon it and really triggering a response that is solely the reason why these children are alive and thriving this morning and on the road to recovery. And so I wanted to talk to Mayor Dorinda Borer from the city of West Haven about this situation, certainly, but really focusing on the response, because that truly, to me, is the headline, besides the fact that these twins are looking like they are going to survive what could have been a horrific tragedy. Mayor Borer, thank you so much for making the time to come on the show. We really appreciate it.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's great to talk to you. I know we haven't spoken in quite some time. I think even since you were officially elected. So congrats. I'm about a year late to congratulate
you. Thank you.
But yeah, it's been a
That's okay.
Long.
It's never too late. We used to speak when I was a state rep, but now, you know, in a different capacity.
Yeah. I mean, and what a story out of West Haven. And like I said, the thing we've been really focusing on, in fact, we had a law enforcement expert on the show in the 7 o'clock hour talking about the response, because it truly is the reason that these two children are alive.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable when you think about it. So, you know, the juxtaposition between something so awful, right, and unimaginable, and then something so heroic is again, truly remarkable. The save was incredible. I'm sure, you know, you've heard the details of the story. I don't know what's been shared so far, but these officers, they were completing their rounds of, you know, it was 2 o'clock in the morning of everything closing down, right? All the bar scene and the restaurants and we're going by. And if you think about the timing, if there was anything that may have happened in their patrol earlier that would have kept them by minutes, but it hadn't, right? They were driving down our Ocean Avenue and it was Officer Williamson who noticed the car on the beach. That something was amiss and called for backup and then went to check it out. And as soon as he got near the car, he could hear the children in the ocean crying and one of them screaming. And, you know, he immediately sprung into action. And then Officer Miller, who arrived very quickly for backup, the same. And if you think about it, it was near 2:30 in the morning. So it's pitch black. Mm. They're fully clothed. It's high tide, right? And then they jump in the ocean and we're swimming against the tide towards I don't even like to call him the father, but towards the man. He was continued to take the children out further into the ocean. And the officers, you know, swam towards him. And it was tough because it was high tide. So as the other officers came on scene, they formed like a human kind of like a chain, right? And passed when they were able to take the children away from the man, passed the children, you know, through the other officers to shore because one of the children was not responsive and they were able to perform CPR and get them to the hospital. So, and the fireboat arrived within 3 minutes. I think it was, less than 3 minutes. So the two officers that happened to come upon this scene, the fireboat, the other police officers, the dispatch, those children were at that hospital in minutes. And it truly saved their lives.
Yeah, I think that is just unbelievable. You know, one of the things I was talking to our law enforcement expert about on the show, Dorinda, was the fact that this patrol officer could have very easily spotted this car and thought, well, that's strange. It's out of place. Let me monitor it. Or, you know what? Let me keep an eye. Maybe somebody fell asleep in the car. I'll come back after I go and do this. you know, or I don't really see any commotion. I'll check if the car is there in the morning. You know, like any number of things, which would have been, you know, okay, appropriate, because I can't say what I do at, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm here at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, as I'm not a police officer. So I, you know, I just commend the fact that this patrol officer really spotted something and decided to investigate, mm-hmm. not to mention that police also, you know, we see it far more than we ever did before, are really a lot of times under attack. They're in ambush situations. We just had a police officer's body returned to New Haven a couple weeks ago from another state because of an ambush attack. We had what happened in Bristol. I mean, so, you know, this patrol officer yep. would have been in the right to say, hey, you know what? I don't see anybody, but I'm not going to put myself in a vulnerable situation unnecessarily. I'm going to just monitor from afar. But the complete opposite happened, and it is the reason these two kids are alive.
Yeah. You know, we had that unfortunate incident on the beach right when we opened the beaches. I don't know, you know, if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ordered gates of all the parking lot, right? And all the parking lots needed to be closed at sunset, and the police have been patrolling that. So this car was on the sand because our parking lots are now closed. And I think that's probably, you know, one of the things that really, if the car was in the parking lot, I don't know. You know, no, our police officers are actually patrolling, and the car wouldn't have been in the parking lot because of the gate.
You can't get in, right.
But I think the fact that the car was on the sand, but you're right, it could have looked, you know, just like, oh, you know, we'll check that out. But nope, immediately jumped into action, called for backup, did everything right.
I'm glad that you said that. We have Mayor Borer here from the city of West Haven, because I had a hunch. I never like to assume. I never like to put details into a story I don't know all the facts on. But that was something I actually had mentioned on the show, Mayor Borer. I said, without knowing ahead of time, and I wanted to either confirm it with you or with police, but I know West Haven, much like Stratford, had some chaos kind of erupt, a little mayhem, if you will, before the summer season started in May. And it prompted having patrols. I know in Stratford, they had a curfew as well put into place. I believe that happened in West Haven, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if, like, you know, did that kind of play a role? You know, I don't want to say, like, you know, that we're condoning it, but in a way that kind of plays a role in why the response was also probably so good. Because, like you said, that to me is, like, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb, the fact that the car had to be parked on the sand.
I think everybody's on heightened alert because of that incident.
Yeah.
Everybody is patrolling the beach, you know, the lots. We don't call it a curfew, but we did, you know, decide to start closing our beach lots at sunset. And our officers are patrolling. We have buggies out there. We have command posts. They're doing a really great job of going up and down the beach and checking things out. So, you know, I went to see the mom at the hospital Sunday morning.
Oh my gosh, how is she?
Well, I mean, you know, as much as you could imagine, right?
Yeah.
Processing, and her children are intensive care. She was, you know, called and told to come to West Haven. She came in the middle of the night. She had already alerted the New York police that the children were missing.
Wow.
So, you know, and I can't really share, you know, too many details.
Of course, it's an ongoing investigation, totally.
But, right. Correct. But so she was called down here. So, and she has an older child that came with her. So she immediately went to the hospital and had, you know, has been there 24/7 around the clock. So I wanted to just go see, you know, her, see if she needed anything from us. But there's been such an outpouring of concern and love, not just from West Haven, but, you know, from the entire region, folks reaching out, and just want to let her know that we're there, right? And she may be in a different state, but, you know, we just wrap in our, you know, our thoughts, our prayers, our love around her, and we are here for her as a community. So, you know, I offered her a hotel, but she said no. You know, she's not leaving the hospital, obviously.
Sure.
And said we would send her meals, but she said she can't eat, obviously. So offered hugs that she took. I went up there with one of the officers. And so I said, as we get more positive, hopefully, news, and we continue to get positive news every day, hopefully she's in a little bit of a better place at the end of the week and we can go back and see what she needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have West Haven Mayor Dorinda Borer here, and we're talking about what happened over the weekend where a man is accused, being held on a $2 million bond, actually, for allegedly trying to drown his children. And again, why West Haven Beach? Who's to say? This man is from New York. But the children, you know, the big takeaway, the fact that the children are slowly but surely on the road to recovery right now at Yale, and we're so grateful for that. The other thing we're really grateful for is the response. That's really what I want to focus on. And Mayor Borer, I'm not sure if you could speak to this at all, but help me to understand this a little bit better. So as you're, you know, reading this again, you know, my mind, my news mind, and even my mother mind kind of kick into high gear. So how in the world did this get accomplished as well as it did? You've got a patrol officer spots a car on the sand. Okay. I'm imagining calls for backup, but you're still talking about firefighters, rescue crews taking a couple of minutes to get there. You know, fast response, but still taking a couple of minutes. How in the world did this happen as smoothly and as well as it did? Was de-escalation used at all to delay time and try to keep the kids above water, or can you speak to that at all?
I think it's their training, right? So they all have life-saving skills training. The boat, there's continual training for rescue operations. They, you know, had a few in the water rescue operations actually this summer already. And I think just working together and, you know, just especially when there's children involved, everybody, you know, not that they don't act the same way, you know, for anybody, but I think there's that adrenaline just, you know, rushes in. And I think that just, you know, they reacted alert. You know, just it's remarkable the way that everything fell into place and the synergy between public safety, the police, and the fire. You know, we had a press conference the other day and our fire chief was very choked up because a lot of these public safety members are young and they have young children themselves.
Right.
So when you're on the scene and you see a child unresponsive and you see a man trying to, you know, allegedly trying to murder the children, it's just, you know, the emotions on top of what the work that they're doing is just, you know, extraordinary.
And I'm glad that you highlighted that, Mayor Borer, because the other part of this story that I don't know if we're doing it justice, not, you know, necessarily just WACC, but in general with the news, has the West Haven Fire, Police, EMS, Rescue, you know, any of those first responders, is it a priority to make sure that there is, you know, PTSD, you know, solutions for PTSD? Because you're right. I mean, whether these are first responders who have children themselves or just the sheer terror of what they are watching happening, and they just clock in, right? They're like in the zone, they're doing their job. But then when they clock out, they have to now live with that trauma of what they responded to. Is that a priority and something that is focused on in West Haven?
Oh, yeah. Yep. All of the chiefs, whenever there's a major incident call in, we have an employee assistance program. They immediately activate that. And I think that's probably why you're not quite yet seeing the original officers, right? The first responders, you know, out there yet, because the chief wanted to make sure they all have time to, you know, process and, you know, heal in their own time and in their own way. They not only, you know, was not only a mental, right, three of them were injured as well, physically.
I didn't know
not
that.
Not seriously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not seriously, but enough where, you know, you have to heal both physically and mentally. So, and we want to, and July 16th is the police commission meeting that we're going to recognize them, and I think that gives enough time for everybody to, you know, process and heal and give them the recognition that is certainly due.
Yeah. And I think it's a great reminder to the public to remember that, yes, while police, fire, you know, rescue crews, yes, they sign up for this job. They do know that there's, you know, going to be the potential of traumatic events that they face. It, at the core, they're still human, and we have to have the grace to allow them to heal and to process in their own time. I mean, certainly we want to have the best continuing to do the job and protecting us, but, you know, we can't rush the process for, you know, what people in the industry would call a sexy news story. So whatever they need, certainly, for that kind of support, we certainly respect it. And I'm so glad that West Haven has made that a priority as well. That's really great.
Yeah. Our police chief and our fire chief both said that in their long career, right, of decades of law enforcement and fire safety, that they have never seen an incident like this. So just emphasizes and underlines, you know, how unique and how traumatic it was.
Yeah. No, it certainly is. I mean, and I think anybody who, I think anybody who can even remember in the last couple of decades, you know, I immediately think of, you know, like the Casey Anthony situation. I mean, it's not something we've not heard of. It's unfortunately, it is something that doesn't happen often, but man, when it does, it's a lot of times the first responders or the people who have to do the search and rescues or, you know, de-escalation, whatever the case, they're at the forefront and they're handling a very unknown, a lot of times uncharted territory that none of us can fathom. So, yeah, kudos to the responding officers, the rescue crews in West Haven. And I just want to thank you so much, Mayor Borer, for making the time to come on WICC. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think in this case, we saw two extremes, right? Like what's worst in the world and what's best in the world. Mm-hmm. So thank you for having me on. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks,
You're
Melissa.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Mayor Borer, we appreciate it. Again, out of West Haven on WICC.